Svatvam Dijanupatha Punnaraja Punita.
Svatvam Dijanupatha Punnaraja Punita.
Shri Vatsa Lakshma Kim Aga Bhagabhajanatam. Jastam Vibhikta Charitai Ranubartamana.
Jastam Vibhikta Charitai Ranubartamana.
Nattadriyat Parama Bhagavata Prasanga.
Nattadriyat Parama
Svatvam Dijanupatha Punnaraja Punita.
Svatvam Dijanupatha Punnaraja Punita.
Shri Vatsa Lakshma Kim Maga Bhagabhajanastam. Jaha, who, tam,
Lakshmi,
vivikta, completely pure, charitaha, devotional services, anuvartamanam, serving, na, not, attadriyat, attached, Parama, the highest, Bhagavata, devotees, Prasangaha, attached, Sa, the Supreme Lord, Tvam, you, Dvija, of the Brahmanas, Anupatha, on the path, Punna, sanctified, Rajaha, dust, Punitaha, purified, Shri Vatsa, of Shri Vatsa, Lakshma, the mark, Kim, what? Agaha, you obtain. Bhaga, all opulences, or all good qualities. Bhajanaha, the reservoir. Tvam,
you.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, you are exceedingly attached to the activities of your pure devotees. Yet you are never attached to the goddess of fortune who constantly engage in your transcendental loving service. How can you be purified, therefore, by the dust of the path traversed by the brahmanas? And how can you be glorified or made fortunate by the marks of Shri Vatsa on your chest? Please repeat after me. O Lord,
you are exceedingly attached
to the activities of your pure devotees. Yet you are never attached
to
the goddess of fortune.
To the goddesses of fortune.
Who constantly engage
in
your transcendental loving service.
How can you be purified?
Therefore,
by the dust of the path traversed
by the brahmanas.
And how can you be glorified
or made fortunate
by the marks of Shri Vatsa
on your chest?
Purport
by Srila Prabhupada. It is said in the Brahma Samhita that the Lord is always served by many hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune in His Vaikuntha planet. Yet, because His attitude of renunciation of all opulences, He is not attached to any one of them. The Lord has 6 opulences, unlimited wealth, unlimited fame, unlimited strength, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, and unlimited renunciation. All the demigods and other living entities worship Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, just to get her favor. Yet the Lord is never attached to her, because he can create an unlimited number of such goddesses of fortune for his transcendental service. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is sometimes envious of the tulasi leaves which are placed at the lotus feet of the Lord, for they remain fixed there and do not move. Whereas Lakshmiji, although stationed by the chest of the Lord, sometimes has to please other devotees who pray for her favor. Lakshmiji sometimes has to go to satisfy her numerous devotees. But tulasi leaves never forsake their position, and the Lord therefore appreciates the service of the tulasi more than the service of Lakshmi. When the Lord says, therefore, that it is due to the causeless mercy of the Brahmanas that Lakshmiji does not leave him, we can understand that Lakshmiji is attached to the opulence of the Lord, not by the Brahmanas' benedictions upon him. The Lord is not dependent on anyone's mercy for his opulence. He is always self-sufficient. The Lord's statement that his opulence is due to the benediction of the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas is only to teach others that they should offer respect to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord. Jastan bibhikta charitair anubartamanam natadriyat parama bhagavata prasangaha svatva janupatha punna rajah punitaha srivatsa lakshma kima kimaga bhagavajanastvam. O Lord, you are exceedingly attached to the activities of your pure devotees, yet you are never attached to the goddess of fortune who constantly engage in your transcendental loving service. How can you be purified, therefore, by the dust of the path traversed by the Brahmanas? And how can you be glorified or made fortunate by the marks of Sri Vatsa on your chest? So the Lord glorified the four sages, the four Kumaras, and in response, the Kumaras are pointing out that these statements of the Lord were simply to glorify them as devotees, but the Lord is totally beyond all those considerations. The Satvam Dijanupatha Punna Rajap Punitaha. The Lord mentioned that he is Punitaha. He is purified by the dust Rajaha. Punna Rajaha Punita Dijanupatha. The Dija Anupatha, Dija means the Brahmanas, the twice born. And the path that they traverse, the dust of that path is so pure that that dust purifies the Supreme Personality. That was the statement of the Lord, that he becomes purified by the dust from the lotus feet of his devotees, which means the Brahmanas. Here the Brahmanas indicating his devotees. But they are actually pointing out that Lord can never be purified. He is always pure, not only pure, he is the source of all purity. So much so that when one becomes separated from him, then he becomes impure. Our condition in the material nature is impure. Why? Because we have become separated from the Lord. If we become connected to the Lord again, then we'll become purified. Our situation will become purified. This is also very natural understanding. There can be natural consideration that the living entity is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God. So as a part and parcel, the living entity's business is to remain connected to the Lord. Now if one becomes separated from the Lord, then he loses his constitutional position. The part's business is to remain connected to the whole. If the part becomes separated from the whole, then the part loses its natural position, natural identity. Then he becomes useless. Like, we can consider that a finger is a part of our body. And as long as the finger is connected to the body, the finger is perfect. But when the finger gets cut off from the body, becomes separated from the body, then what is the value of that finger? The finger that is so valuable, so precious, otherwise it will be thrown into a garbage pan. And it will start to rot. It will not have any meaning at all. So living entities are part and parcels of the Supreme Personality of God. And the living entities therefore must be connected to the Lord. When the living entity becomes isolated from the Lord, when a living entity becomes separated from the Lord, then its meaning becomes totally useless. Its existence doesn't bear any meaning whatsoever. But here we are seeing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind that He glorifies His devotees. The devotees are so dear to Him that He places Himself in a rather insignificant position. Although He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He places Himself in a rather insignificant position and glorifies His devotees. But a devotee knows always. That is the loving exchange. A devotee knows that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't need anyone. He is Swarat. He is completely independent. He is not dependent upon anybody. Time and time again He proves that also. And here the four Kumaras are making that point. Like, to win the favor of Lakshmi Devi is considered to be the ultimate achievement. Like, if one can win the favor of Lakshmi Devi, he will have everything. Lakshmi Devi is the goddess of fortune. To be fortunate means to have everything. To be unfortunate means to not have anything. Who is unfortunate? Who doesn't have anything? And who is fortunate? Who has everything? And how do we get everything? Whenever we get something, we have to understand it is due to the grace and mercy of Lakshmi Devi. Therefore, she is known as the goddess of fortune. She is the controller of fortune. So whenever there is fortune, we have to understand it is the favor of Lakshmi Devi. And this Lakshmi Devi is constantly serving the Supreme Personality of God. Not one Lakshmi Devi. In each universe there is one Lakshmi Devi. One universe has one Lakshmi Devi, normally. And that Lakshmi Devi is supplying all the wealth, all the opulence, all the good fortune to this universe. So we can consider how many universes are there? There are unlimited universes. And therefore there must be, if each universe has one Lakshmi Devi, then there are unlimited Lakshmi Devis. And those unlimited Lakshmi Devis, what do? Their only business is to serve Krishna. And that is in the material nature. But in the spiritual sky, also there are unlimited Lakshmi Devis. And those Lakshmi Devis are directly engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of God. Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sambhrama Sebhyamanam. Sambhrama, with all great awe and reverence they are serving Krishna. Especially in Vrindavan. But sometimes we find that although Lakshmi Devis are serving Krishna with so much awe and reverence, but Krishna is not attached to them. There are many examples. One example is that during Rasa dance, Krishna was dancing with 16,000 gopis, and then at one point Krishna left all the gopis and walked away. Just disappeared. He just left Rasa dance. Now, the entire universe is begging for Lakshmi Devi's favor. They are waiting to receive Lakshmi Devi's mercy. And people like Ravan, they want to steal Lakshmi Devi and enjoy Lakshmi Devi, but never succeed. The question actually came time and time again, Ravan, why are you so attached to Sita? After stealing Sita, Ravan practically lost his composure. He couldn't sleep at night, he was very disturbed, very agitated throughout the day, because his only desire was to enjoy Lakshmi Devi, Sita Devi. And Sita Devi herself also told that, Ravan, why are you being so sinful? You stole somebody else's wife when you have so many other women. To enjoy, you have all the arrangements. But Ravan's thing was that, no, I cannot forget her even for a moment. All the time Ravan was actually thinking of Sita Devi. At one time, Indrajit made a magical display. He came to the battlefield with Sita Devi on the chariot and came in front of Ram and Lakshman, and he said that, now I'm going to kill her. It's because of her that all these problems, so now we are going to kill her. But that was just the illusory Sita that he brought. And then he took his sword and just cut her there. Cut her into half. And seeing that, Ram and all the associates of Ramchandra monkeys, they all fainted in pain. Ram felt, now what's the use of fighting this battle again? So the actual purpose is lost. We kill Sita. So at that time Vibhishan said, look, this is illusory. Because Ravan will never allow Meghnad to kill Sita. Ravan is so attached to Sita that he will kill Meghnad if he did something. So this way we can see that how attached Ravan was to Sita. The good people in this world, they want to win the favor of Sita Devi or Lakshmi Devi, and people like Ravan, they want to steal Sita Devi and enjoy Sita Devi, Lakshmi Devi. So they are so attached to Lakshmi Devi, everyone. But Krishna, Ramchandra, is not at all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not attached. That we have seen, like, in, that's the apparent contradiction in Ramayana, or in Ramchandra's pastimes. Ramchandra went through so much difficulties to regain Sita. He fought with Ravan, underwent so many difficulties to get her back. But then, because one person criticized or displayed some doubt about Sita Devi's character, Ramchandra banished Sita Devi. So this is a sign, this is an indication that Ram is not attached. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not at all attached to the Goddess of Fortune. Of course, here we have to understand that these are all just the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, the Lord is not attached to the goddesses of fortune, because He can create unlimited number of goddesses of fortune. He has already created unlimited number of goddesses of fortune, and He can also create unlimited number of goddesses. So when we have unlimited number of something, we generally don't become attached. If we have only one piece, like if we have only one pair of shoes, then we'll become very attached to our shoes, because that's the only pair we have. But if we have many pairs of shoes, then we will be wondering which pair to wear which day. And we don't become attached. So that's the case with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, He can create unlimited number of Lakshmi Devis. Therefore, He is not attached to them. And Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport that the Lord is glorifying the Brahmanas simply to indicate that how every Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to teach others how they should respect the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. The Lord, by His own behavior, by His own activities, show the common people how to behave. Jajjad acharati sreshtas tattad eve taro jana. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of His qualities is He is completely detached. Vaidagya. Vaisharjasya samagrasya birjasya jashasya sriya jnana vairagya shaiva shannangiti bhagansa. These are the six opulences. Vairagyarcha. So, vairagya means renunciation or detachment. So, He is absolutely detached. Krishna is not attached to anything. Why? Because He is the creator of everything. And He can create unlimited number of things. But at the same time, He behaves in such a way as if He is attached to His devotees. But He doesn't even need His devotees. He doesn't need anybody. He is self-satisfying. But still He needs His devotees. Why? Because He wants to have a loving exchange with them. And loving exchange, we need others. That's one thing, one consideration where the Lord needs His devotees. Devotees means His lovers. So love is important because love is the source of ananda, joy. His Atma Ram. The Lord is Atma Ram, the Lord is Swarat, the Lord is Anandamaya himself, and he doesn't need anybody, but still, for the sake of love, he needs others. For the sake of loving exchange, he needs his lovers. Because love is one thing one cannot experience by himself. We can be peaceful by being alone, but we cannot love by being alone. Love is something, there is a need for lover and the beloved. So the Lord is the lover, so he needs the beloved. He needs someone to love. And that's why the Lord needs his devotees. Devotees means those who love him. There is an expression, there is a saying, that the Lord is not lacking anything, in anything. The Lord is not hungry for anything. He is only hungry of love. Pyar ke bhukha. He is completely perfect. He is perfectly self-satisfied. He has everything. But he is hankering for one thing. Although he has everything, but he is hankering for one thing. That is love. And why is he hankering for love? Because it is through love that the joy is experienced. Ananda or joy is experienced through loving exchange. Even the Lord needs to love somebody, because otherwise how will he enjoy? We can see that when we are alone in a very nice situation, in a big palace, we are alone. We will be very peaceful there. Very rich man living in a big mansion, he is very happy, very peaceful. But when he wants to enjoy, then what does he do? He invites his friends to a party. He throws a party, big party. And this is how he enjoys, and his friends also enjoy. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to enjoy, he has to throw some party and invite his friends. And he doesn't throw a party only once in a while. He is constantly having parties. And that is what Vrindavan is. Vrindavan is a place where the Lord is constantly enjoying the parties with his friends and devotees. So that's why the Lord is so attached to the devotees. He is attached to the devotees, but the devotees are attached to him also. Those who are not attached to him, they're missing out. Because this attachment is the basis of love. The Lord loves his devotees, and the devotees reciprocate his love. All the living entities are the objects of love for the Lord. Every living entity. But some living entities do not respond to that love. And that is their misfortune. Because they are not responding to the love of the Lord, they are missing out on that loving exchange. Therefore, this love is available for everybody. Other things may not be available for everybody, but this is one thing which is available for everybody. Everybody can become a devotee of the Lord, which means everybody can love the Lord. It's not that everybody has to love the Lord. The Lord loves everybody. One has to simply reciprocate that love. So this is one thing, one prerogative that everybody has. Everybody can love Krishna. And Krishna will reciprocate. It's not that a matter of Krishna will reciprocate. Krishna is already loving us. Now it's up to us to love Krishna. Sometimes I gave this example, just an apparently mundane example, that loving relationship between a boy and a girl. Like we see that when a boy falls in love with a girl, he is always thinking about her. And he thinks that because the girl is not responding to his love, his life is meaningless. And he is always thinking about her, praying to the Lord for her, and so forth. And he is so morose, he is so sad that the girl doesn't respond. And then one day he gets a response. He gets a note from that girl. She simply says, "I love you." Then what happens to the boy? He begins to jump with joy. Now this is the mundane love affair. But in the absolute sense, there is such a love affair going on. And here, in this sense, who is the lover? Krishna is that lover. Krishna is that lover boy. And all the living entities are that beautiful young girls to Krishna. And Krishna is thinking, when will that beautiful girl going to respond to my love? And when the person does that, Krishna becomes so happy. Krishna becomes so happy. And the girl, in order to express her love, what does she do? She writes in a piece of paper, "I love you." And what does the living entity do? Living entity says, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." This Maha Mantra actually means, "Krishna, I love you, I love you, I love you." So ultimately spiritual life is so simple and so readily available to all of us, all to simply respond to the love of Krishna. Krishna is already loving us. Now it's up to us to respond to that love. And then only our existence will find its perfect meaning. Our existence will become perfectly meaningful. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Priyavrata.
It's very fascinating, the question was. Hello, your wonderful teaching class. I still wanting to hear one simple answer to this. Oh Lord, you are exceedingly attached to the activities of your pure devotee, yet you are never attached to the goddess of fortune, who is constantly engaged in your transcendental learning service. So my question is that, how come he is detached and the person who is so close to him, Lakshmi Devi, always residing by his side, yet he goes out and glorifies his devotees? Is he partial, or what's the reason? What the magical word I can say, that he is, so attached to devotees.
Well, I'll answer this question again through a mundane example. Very, very mundane example. You see, a married man has his relationship with his wife, but when he falls in love with somebody else, that relationship becomes even more intense. Right? So the relationship between the Lord and Lakshmi Devi is something like husband and wife. And the relationship with the gopis or with, say, a living entity who is not apparently married to him, that relationship is even more intense. So that's why the Lord, here as we mentioned, like, he disregards Lakshmi Devi in one sense, but he is so attached to his devotees. So that is the, in the ultimate sense, that is the difference between Shakya and Parokya. Shakya relationship is like that of husband and wife. Relationship between the Lord and Lakshmi Devi is like husband and wife. And Parokya, the relationship between the gopis and Krishna. Ultimately, they are also Lakshmi. They are actually the origin of Lakshmi Devi, the gopis. Just, I mean, as I said, like I gave a mundane expression, example. So we have to understand that the Lord, He is supreme and He is perfect. All His activities are also perfect. And we are His parts and parcels. So our business is simply to respond to His love through our devotion. We should never imitate. If we imitate, then we become a demon. When a living entity imitates the activities of the Lord, then he becomes a demon. Like the Lord is naturally enjoying Lakshmi Devi. But when somebody steals Lakshmi Devi and tries to enjoy her as the Lord, then he becomes a Ravan. So that's the difference between the Lord's devotees and Lord's competitors. Hare Krishna. Yes, Jadhav.
We spoke about Lakshmi Devi. Now I was wondering about Radharani. This is, seems a bit unfair because he's unattached to her.
Yeah, he's also unattached to her sometimes. Like again, like Rasava dance, Krishna left the 16,000 gopis for the sake of Radharani. But then at some point, he left them and went with Radharani. And then at one point, Krishna left Radharani also. Right? And then Radharani started to look for Krishna. And apparently Krishna also left Vrindavan. He left everybody. So in this way, Krishna shows that this is Krishna's detachment aspect. He's detached. He's not attached to anybody. He's not dependent upon anybody. But at the same time, Krishna is extremely attached to Srimati Radharani. So this is Achinta Bheda Veda again. He is detached, yet he is extremely attached. With he is saying that Radharani is everything to him. Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And why Krishna assumed the mood of Srimati Radharani? Because Krishna wanted to understand the depth of Radharani's love, the glory of Radharani's love. Yes?
And even his detachment is out of his own choice. Yes, very good point. Like, ultimately everything is his own sweet will. He doesn't need anything. But he is performing his pastimes. Now, pastimes means his playful activities. He doesn't need them. And he is playing in that way, in such a way, simply in order to enjoy and allow us to, allow others to enjoy. If he did not perform his pastimes, life would have been very boring. Like, what would have been the excitement? But because of his pastimes in the spiritual sky is so exciting. And everything is happening due to his own sweet will. And everyone is perfectly tuned into that will of the Lord. There is no interruption, no interference of other wills. The Lord's will is prevalent and every other will is tuned in. Whereas in material nature, the problem is that everybody has his own agenda, his own will. And as a result of that, there is so much conflict. But in the spiritual sky, there is perfect harmony because everyone is tuned into that one will.
That's true. But at the same time, Lord doesn't interfere in others. Like, the choice is ours. But the thing is that the choice is ours, but it also leads us to a risk. That if we make a wrong choice, then we'll be in trouble. Right? Wrong choice means don't tune into the Lord's will. That's why the beginning point is the surrender. The surrender is the starting point. And when we surrender unto Him, then we'll be submissive to His will. Not to surrender means trying to do things by our own arrangement. Now, yes, we should make arrangements, but that arrangement should be in tune with the Lord's plan, Lord's desire. Say, for example, the Lord's desire is that let the Holy Name spread all over the world. Now, if we are acting towards that, maybe we are using our own agenda. But if the purpose of our activities is to spread the movement, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, we are tuned in with the Lord's desire. But if our agenda is not that, but something else, then we are acting against the Lord's will. So the main, the main point should be focused into. We should be tuned into the main point. Yes, Harati?
Pretty much when I, in the beginning of the class, I was wondering why there seemed to be no reciprocation between the Lord with Lakshmi Devi service. And then you were speaking about his attachment while being detached. And I was thinking that perhaps it's like the life lesson that we all have. For example, our family members, we are attached to them, but we should also understand that should something happen, we should be detached from them.
Yeah. The Lakshmi Devi, you see, we have to again understand also that sometimes the Lord displays some neglect, right, to someone who is very dear to Him. Now, we have to understand that that apparent neglect is simply to increase the intensity of their relationship, right?
And another way of looking at it is, like when someone is very close to you, you may show the neglect. But if somebody is distant, then you do not. This point also comes up time and time again in the scriptures, that the devotees are saying that, because, say for example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised Jagadananda Pandit. Right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami's response was that because Jagadananda Pandit is very dear to you, that's why you are chastising him. You are making him drink the nectar of your chastisement. But you, since I am distant from you, that's why you are glorifying me. But actually, what you are making me is to drink the bitter juice of a neem fruit. So that's another way of looking at it, and that's how a devotee looks at it. The devotee never thinks that, oh, I am dear to the Lord so more than Lakshmi Devi. No. Devotee will rather think that this attitude of the Lord towards Lakshmi Devi, if at all, is neglectful, because it's because the Lord is so attached. But I am so distant from him that he is treating me in an apparently favorable way. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that is the intense loving relationship is like that. Yeah, like it happens. Like sometimes Krishna neglects Radharani, but eventually that simply increases her love for him. Sometimes Radharani becomes angry with Krishna, but that anger also is an expression of intense love. So ultimately we have to understand it's all love affair. And as you said, like, it is in the material nature, it is perfectly reflected. But what we are seeing in the material nature, from that we can understand how it must be there. Because that is, you see, what is the perverted reflection? Perverted reflection is that instead of Krishna, somebody else becomes the object, hero. That is the perverted reflection. Someone other than Krishna becomes the hero, Nayaka. But Krishna is the supreme hero. And when the drama happens and with Krishna in the center as the hero, then it's spiritual. It's spiritual pastimes of the world. Any question from the internet?
First of all, Janesh Prabhu, sometimes people do want to exploit Lakshmi and they do get a lot of wealth. Does this mean that Lakshmi is bound to give them wealth due to their karma?
Yes. Material nature abides by the law. And if somebody worships Lakshmi in a certain way, he wins her favor. But we have to understand that the winning the favor of Lakshmi Devi should not be the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life should be to win the favor of Krishna. That is the ultimate consideration. A devotee is not so eager to win the favor of Lakshmi Devi. A devotee's only concern is to win the favor of Krishna. And if the favor of Lakshmi Devi becomes an impediment to our attachment to Krishna, then the devotee's attitude is, I do not want that favor. I do not want money. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. These are the favors of Lakshmi Devi. Dhanam, janam, sundarim. And materially, when one has that, he is considered to be very fortunate. Meaning he won the favor of Lakshmi Devi, goddess of fortune. He's very fortunate. He got dhanam, he got janam, he got sundarim. But a devotee's mood is na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. But bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai janmani janmani shwa. Life after life, all I want is to win, become engaged in your devotional service.
Second question, from Lakshmi Bhakti Prabhu, does Krishna accept our love when we serve and love any living being, assuming as his part and parcel?
First you love Krishna, then think of part and parcel. What's the use of the part and parcel with the whole? Actually, the part and parcel is meaningful because of its connection to the whole. And that is where, that is the difference between the devotees and Mayavadis. Mayavadis' theory is, jibe prem kore jai jan, shei jan, shei jan. One who loves the living entities, he is serving the Lord. Jive daya, jive prem. Love the living entity. But Prabhupada didn't accept that. Prabhupada said no. Jive prem nahi hota hai. There is no love between jiva and between two jivas. Atmendriya priti vancha tare voli kam. When there is so-called love between two jivas, it's lust. It's a simple desire for exploitation. But actual love is Krishnendriya priti vancha dhari prem. Love is exclusively meant for Krishna. So just offer that love to Krishna. So serve Krishna first, and then his parts and parcels will automatically be served. In this respect also Prabhupada gives the example. You water the root of the whole tree will be watered. But if you put some tree on the leaves and the branches, water some branches and the leaves, nothing will happen. No benefit. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes, Radha.
I have been disturbed seeing these workers in the street and the children just running around and so on. And many a time I think in my heart I have to do something. But I'm just being an observer like everybody else in this place. Completely indifferent. And I'm having a conflict. I feel like I need to do some worthy work. And I was really happy when I heard this after my previous day and just eating the food.
Yeah, but by the way, I stopped it. I told Ganga Narayan to stop that. Anyway, I'll tell you why. You tell, you may finish it.
So, how to tolerate this conflict in my
heart? Okay, in one hand you are saying, seeing these human children are suffering, human people are going, human beings are going hungry. But did you ever see a sparrow going hungry? Did you see ever any vulture going hungry? Do you ever see any dog going hungry? They all have enough food. In Krishna's kingdom, Krishna has taken care of everyone. Now, when there is a scarcity, we see that the scarcity is only in the human society. And in the human society, the scarcity is because of his greed. Like, you take a bag of rice, put it in the middle of the road. Some birds will come, they'll eat some grains and go fly away. Then some cat, and then some cows and donkeys and goats will come. They'll eat as much as they need, then they'll go away. But as soon as the first man comes, he'll pick up the whole bag and go away. So that's the difference. Okay, Krishna has given enough. But the human beings have the prerogative to make the choice for themselves, what they want to do. And when they go against Krishna, material nature makes them suffer. So it is out of the due to their own karma that they are suffering. Anyway, yesterday I was actually watching. She and Naika, and they went to start to distribute. First of all, the way they were distributing didn't look nice. Here are some Western women They're sitting on the middle of the road with a big pan, trying to. Kind of, it looked very odd, as if, you know, they're showing their kind mercy, the starving Indian. You know, people, it will be very bad publicity for us. The thing is that the temple is here, prasadam is being distributed. Why don't they take a few steps, come to the temple and eat? If they're hungry, then let them eat. And I noticed another thing. None of them are coming to take it. They're sitting there. Like, these people are just working and carrying on with their work. So this is one thing, that if they're really in need, then they will come. We don't have to go out. Our door is open to everybody. Anyone hungry, come and take it. But going out to do that, you know, it may create a wrong impression, or it may give a wrong impression. Right? And so anyway, the bottom line is that everyone is an architect of his own destiny. Right? So let him, and let, now what is the most important thing to do? Like, you can provide them food for some time. That'll solve the problem temporarily. But isn't it better to make a permanent solution? Now, what's the permanent solution? Krishna consciousness. So the most important thing is to give them Krishna consciousness, and along with that, prasadam will be there. All the other things will be there. Like, another, you are not here. So all over the city there was a scarcity of water. But in this area there was no scarcity. Rather, every day we are giving out, we are sending 25 tankers of water to the city, to the people. Now, how come there was no scarcity here? What does it indicate? That Krishna takes care of his devotees. Even in Bible we find that. Like when Moses was taking the Jews from Egypt to Israel, they were crossing the desert. In the middle of the desert, their daily supply was being offered. They were getting a food called manna. So tell me, what kind of food will come there in the middle of a desert? They were not carrying any food, they just escaped. They could barely take their own children. They probably couldn't even carry their own clothes. Acute necessities. Obviously, they were not carrying the food. And the understanding is that the Lord was providing. So that even in the middle of the desert, the Lord will provide for his devotees. So scarcity is because, the scarcity is punishment. Now how to rectify that punishment? By being properly situated in Krishna consciousness. So now you tell me, what's more important? Yes, philanthropic work is important, but what is that ultimate philanthropic work? The ultimate philanthropic act is Krishna, giving out Krishna consciousness. Because that will make the permanent solution. All other things are just a patchwork. Yeah, food for life is giving out prasad. Prabhupada is giving out food for prasad, but in a certain way. Our van is going to different points, and food for life is actually, the Prabhupada wanted the people to come to the temple and take the food for life. That's the big issue that Jayadrita Maharaj made. Like, he was against that. Anyway, it's a kind of a controversial point. Like, whether we should go out or people should come to our temple. When they come to our temple, then they understand that this food is a special food. But when you go out and give it to them, then it's a PR work. Right. So that's, anyway, that was a consideration. But we'll give out food. There is no harm in giving out prasad. But along with the prasad, we should make it a point to make them chant Hare Krishna.
This is in the West, you see that many devotees have joined through food for life because the devotees kept bringing their kindness and then they will also preach.
But those who joined, they mainly came to the temple and got the prasad. If you get the food, the bums in the streets of New York who are getting the food for life, they are not getting they are not joining the movement. They are not becoming devotees. At least I don't know of anyone. But those who became devotees, they not so much food for life, that they became attracted to our Sunday feast program and other prasad distribution program from the temple. So that way you can see the effect. When they come to the temple and get the prasad with a clear understanding, it has a different impact.
So much. I wrote to you an email just the day before I came to speak to you yesterday, asking specifically whether it would be seen as some strange Russian woman imposing her ideas upon the people, and that perhaps I don't know the social structure of the country. Perhaps you did not receive that email, but I also realized yesterday while I was distributing that it was not the best way of doing it, and I was reconsidering.
Yeah, actually, you see, when I saw, then it occurred to me, because here is, you know, as if, you know, we are throwing some crumbs, you know, but better is that. Kind of we can make them aware that, look, if you want, whenever you want, you can come and take prasad in the temple. This is the time the prasad will be distributed. So that will have a more profound impact.
I noticed yesterday, after the workers and the graders have eaten, there were enormous amounts of prasad still left over. I don't know what's generally been done with the breakfast prasad after the devotees have prasad. I know the children from across the road, they do come for Mahaprasad in the mornings sometimes, and
yeah, so we can make them, we can make it available to them. Like, you see, it's a matter of, you know, like doing things in the right way. Because, I mean, after all, people know that, you know, like we are feeding the 30,000 school children every day. That is known to all the people here.
While we were traveling to India, because you were mentioning like about the animals, and like a lot of time we see like skinny dogs or skinny cows, and then we would like buy some food and feed them. That's
because unfortunately, instead of depending upon Krishna, they're depending upon human beings. That's why they're in that state. The animals that are in the forest, that are living in nature, you'll never find them skinny and suffering. But these are the creatures, these are the animals, those who are depending upon human beings. And as a result of that, you can see their condition. So what do you learn? The lesson do you learn? Don't depend upon human beings. Then your condition will become like theirs. Yes, Radharani? To tell you frankly, I don't know how true that statement is. Like, because you see, how it Food for Life actually started, when Prabhupada saw that people, you see, there was a feast in Mayapur, and some local people came and they were actually scavenging from the West, you know, like where they threw out. Seeing that, Prabhupada's heart, you know, became very sad. And then the program that Prabhupada started was not sending out prasad to outside. People were coming to the temple. That's why I don't know where the Prabhupada wanted that we should go out and distribute like that, you know. Because that is not You know, like, our business is to give them Krishna consciousness first. And again, Food for Life, the way it started was simply a PR thing. And that food distribution was the leftover food from Sunday feasts and all were taken and given to the bums in New York. This was not a systematic thing that Prabhupada started that way. Prabhupada started in Mayapur from that time, that, you know, feed them. But the idea was to that they should come to the temple. And they were like that. They were to every day and they were getting their food in Mayapur. That's a good way of looking at it, but the thing is, you see, say for example, this midday meal project we are doing. Yes, we are doing it. But the most of the funding is coming from the government. Right? And to tell you frankly, I started the project just for the sake of PR. Because that is, I don't see that as our agenda, real agenda. Our real agenda is to bring them to the temple. Right? And another consideration here is that these people, okay, let us put it this way, that if we have X amount of money, right, and we have two objectives, is to do something in the temple or use that money giving out in food. Now, which one should be our preference?
Serving Krishna first.
Serving Krishna first. So, by serving Krishna, everyone will be satisfied, watering the root, right? And it is better that they come to the temple and get the prasad and appreciate the temple. We are doing a midday meal, they are not actually appreciating us. They are just thinking that, you know, the government, yeah, they are actually appreciating Indian government. Some result will be there, some benefit will be there naturally because they are being offered to Lord Jagannath and they are getting Jagannath Mahaprasad. But if you consider the direct benefit, then, you know, like, we have to seriously consider. Thank you, Hare Krishna, all glories to you.